تقبل الله أعمالكم. May Allah accept all of your أعمال in this month, this holy month of Ramadan. The topic that we have been discussing over the previous nights has been that of the story of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam in the Quran, and we've been trying to gain some practical life lessons from this story. The passage that we began yesterday exploring is regarding the Tawheed and the Tawheedi aspect and the Tawheedi perspective that Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam has regarding his relationship with Allah and the world around him. Meaning that Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam was somebody who saw Allah in all aspects of his life. Yesterday we read A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem from verse number 77 of Surah Al-Shu'ara, Surah number 26. فَإِنَّهُمْ عَدُوٌ لِي إِلَّا رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. All of the idols that you worship, Nabi Ibrahim says to the people, to his own people who are idol worshippers, they are all my enemies. They all are in opposition to what I stand for. They prevent me from accomplishing the purpose for which I've been created. إِلَّا رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Except for رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Rabb, we explained yesterday what that means, and then he goes on to prove how it is that this Rabb is so much a part of his life. الَّذِي خَلَقَنِي فَهُوَ يَهْدِينِي. The one who created me, and then he is continuously guiding me. وَالَّذِي هُوَ يُطْعِمُنِي وَيَسْقِينِي. The one who feeds me, is continuously feeding me and giving me water and giving me drink as well too. And we talked yesterday how somebody who looks at this process of food and eating and provision and nourishment, they can see so many signs of God in this. We talked about how the different colors, the different textures, all of these are signs of Allah. Just think about this one point, that you eat a piece of bread and somehow their system is in place for that bread to be digested and to reach all the different parts of your body. Whether it be your eyes, whether it be your nose, whether it be your internal organs, whether it be your hands or your feet, every hair of your body is somehow getting nourishment from the food that you eat. And you look at a piece of bread before you eat it, and you look at all the different hairs on your body, and you just wonder, how is it that this bread is being transformed into food that allows like this my body to like flourish and to be healthy? Then he continues, he says, وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينِي. When I become sick, and I become ill, فَهُوَ يَشْفِينِي. He is the one who continuously and constantly gives me health, restores my health to me. This process of getting sick and becoming healthy is something also that can lead us to Allah. But we need to ask the question, how? How is it that we can see Allah in this process? Sometimes we get sick, or like we're feeling lousy, we're feeling, you know, just down, right? What do? We take some medicine, and we get better. Or if it's something that we can't figure out, maybe we do some research on it, we do a few Google searches, try to figure out what the problem is, right? Go and pick up a particular type of medicine, apply it, and then we get well, right? Or if it's really bad, we go to the doctor. Doctor looks at us, checks us out, maybe gives us some tests to run, we get a prescription, we'll get the prescription, and eventually, you know, inshallah, usually these things go away. And that process can be done whether somebody's a Muslim or whether they're non-Muslim. Maybe that somebody denies the existence of God, na'udhu billah, and they also can go through this process of getting sick and then being healed again. So where is it that we can see God in this process? Well, the thought process that we need to have starts from the very beginning. That this characteristic that we have of good health versus being sick, that itself is something which is not in our own hands. We can take preventative measures. We can try to be healthy. But at the end of the day, one fact remains, and this is something which is applies for everyone at all times, that us being healthy or us being sick is something which lies out of our control. Now, whose control does it lie in? What sort of system is in place here? When we get sick, right, what's the first thing that we do? We try to figure out what we can do to get better. You know, what is it that's guiding it? Who is it that's guiding our thought processes to turn us in one direction or another direction? Let's say I go to this a particular doctor, and that doctor gives me that prescription that's going to heal me. What's to say that I wouldn't have gone to another doctor that gave me a totally different prescription? I've heard of stories, you hear of stories all the time, that you go to one doctor, they tell you it's one problem. You go to another doctor, they tell you it's another problem. And neither of them are correct. Even in today's apparently, supposedly modern world of medicine, which is supposed to be so sophisticated, sometimes they make huge mistakes. What is it that guides me to that particular doctor that's going to give me the right diagnosis for my problem? And let's say that the doctor diagnoses me properly, and I go and get the medicine. Who says that this medicine has this property? Why is it that this plant, when it's grown in this particular way, and some parts of it are extracted in another way, and they're preserved in another way, that plant extract is going to have that particular effect on my body? Right? Who puts that system into place? And who's to say, now, my body, I'm going to try this particular medicine. Who's to say that it's going to have the right effect on my body? There are other people who have the same medicine and they have reactions. But in this particular case, it had the desired effect on my body. What's guaranteeing that's happening? And who's to say that once that positive effect happens on my body, that I'm going to stay healthy? We know people who get sick and then they get healthy, and then after some time they relapse. They get back, the same sickness comes back again, sometimes even more severely. Right? It's not a simple process. We think about, I get sick, and then I take some medicine and I'm good. I get sick, I go to the doctor, right? They diagnose me and then I'm better again. No, this whole process is something which requires some intricate thought. We have to realize that this is a sign to us that we have a being who is looking over us and governing our affairs, and we're not in charge of our own affairs. One day they ask Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali alayhi salam, they ask him, how is it that you came to be thankful for the blessings of Allah? And this hadith you can find in the book of known as At-Tawheed of Shaykh As-Sadduq rahmatullahi alayh. فَبِمَاذَا شَكَرْتَ نَعَمَاهُ. How is it that you came to be thankful of the blessings of Allah? What does he say? He says, نَظَرْتُ إِلَى بَلَاءٍ قَدْ صَرَفَهُ عَنِّي وَأَبْلَى بِهِ غَيْرِي. He says that I looked and I noticed and I examined how Allah would afflict me with some affliction. For example, sickness. And then that affliction will be taken away from me and it would go to somebody else. One day I'd be sick, the next day my coworker would be sick. One day I'd be sick, next day my family member would be sick. And so on and so forth. That's the way things work. فَعَلِمْتُ أَنَّهُ قَدْ أَنْعَمَ عَلَيَّ فَشَكَرْتُهُ. I came to know through this that it was He who blessed me with this in the first place, and therefore I became thankful to Him. I came to realize that there's a governor, a manager who is outside of myself, who is managing what happens to my body, who is controlling the sickness and who's controlling the healthiness as well. So it's from this sort of thought process, brothers and sisters, that we can come to know and see things from the perspective of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينِ. When I became sick, then it is He who healed me. Now, what is it that we learn from this process? As we saw from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, that he is learning and he is saying that this is the reason for why he is thankful for the blessings. But there are other outcomes as well too. I want to share with you an incident that I came across. This is a report from one of the companions. He says that when one time we were with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, and we saw that he was smiling about something. So we asked him, what is the reason why you are smiling? He says that I am smiling at wonder at the mu'min, at the believer, in wonder at the believer. I'm surprised by something that a believer does, in other words. I see how a believer gets so troubled and so stressed out when he or she gets sick. وَلَوْ يَعْلَمُ مَا لَهُ فِي السُّقْمِ مِنَ الثَّوَابِ If he were to know what lies in store for him in terms of reward in account of that sickness, لَأَحَبَّ أَن لَا يَزَالَ سَقِيمًا He would love to always remain in that state of sickness until he meets his Lord, the Exalted. Meaning that the process of getting sick, why is it that we even get sick in the first place? That itself has reason behind it. And this too is governed by Allah. Sometimes this question is asked, okay, in this verse here, وَإِذَا مَرِدْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينِ When I become sick, then He is the one who heals me. Question, who is it that causes us to get sick? Well, the answer is Allah. Right? Allah is the one who causes us to get healed. He's the one who causes us to get sick as well too. Then why is it that Nabi Ibrahim doesn't say that هُوَ الَّذِي أَمْرَبَنِي فَهُوَ يَشْفِينِ He is the one who caused me to get sick and then He is the one who heals me. He doesn't say that. He says, He's the one who, when I get sick, مَرِدْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينِ There's a difference in expression. The Mufassirin say that this demonstrates the type of adab and etiquette that Nabi Ibrahim was demonstrating. That in the presence of Allah, right, he doesn't want to attribute anything that's even seen as negative to Allah, even though he knows that even that the sickness is given by Allah as well too. We see this in the du'as of the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. And the reason why I keep on quoting the du'as is not because for reciting du'a, because in these du'as there are deep lessons about tawheed, about our relationship with Allah. In the du'a for Wednesday that Imam Sajjad alayhi salam has given us to recite, he says the following, Allahumma lakal hamdu, O Allah, to you belongs all praise. An khalaqta fasawaita, you created us and then you apportioned us and you fashioned us. وَقَدَّرْتَ وَقَضَيْتَ وَأَمَّتَ وَأَحْيَيْتَ You cause us to die and you cause us to live. وَأَمْرَضْتَ وَشَفَيْتَ You cause us to become sick and then you heal us. وَعَفَيْتَ وَأَبْلَيْتَ And you give us health and you give us trials as well too. In this context that Imam Sajjad alayhi salam is speaking, he's talking about the different actions of Allah in the universe and he's acknowledging the greatness of Allah through these actions. You are the one who is responsible for healing. You're the one who is responsible for causing people to get sick. You're the one who is responsible for bringing people to life and for causing them death as well too, etc. But in this passage of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, he's trying to show the merciful side of Allah and therefore he doesn't say that you are the one who causes me to get sick, but that's something which we understand as well too, that even the sickness is caused by Allah. Why is it that Allah causes us to get sick in the first place? Well, As we saw in that one hadith, that one of the benefits of it is that we get thawab. Another benefit of it is that it is one of the best reminders that we have of the blessings of Allah. Right? And this again we see in a dua of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. There's a very short dua in Sahifa al-Sajjadiyah that Imam Sajjad gives for when somebody is sick. How should they think about sickness? It's very beautiful. In that dua he says the following, فَمَا أَدْرِي Ya ilahi ayyul halaini ahaqqu bishukrik I don't know in which state I should be more thankful to you, when I'm healthy or when I'm sick. Now, people like myself, right, when we're sick, maybe the last thing we can think about is being thankful to Allah. Instead, we're very prone to grumble, we're very prone to be complaining. But Imam Sajjad alayhi salam said, I don't know which state I should be more thankful. When I'm healthy, I see that the risk that you've given me, I see the provisions you've given me, I feel energy because of that, and I can use that energy to seek your pleasure and to seek your risk, and you have given me the power to worship you as a result. But when I'm sick, I see that you have tested me, and I see the blessings that you have removed from me, and I see that this is a means for you to lessen the burden of sins that are upon me. And I see it as a means of purification for me, as a means for me to turn to you, to have tawbah towards you. So, the reasons for why sickness come about are many and complex. One of them is reward. One of them is a means of a reminder. Another one is a test, right? Another one is as a means of raising our stations. At the end of the day, a believer understands that all of this is governed in a system, and all of this is according to a certain plan that Allah has for us. We need to seek the means for getting healthy, but in the process we need to understand that even that health is coming from Allah. Please recite Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. In the next line, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam says the following, next ayah. وَالَّذِي يُمِيتُنِي ثُمَّ يُحْيِينِي. He is the one who causes me to die, and he is the one who will give me life. Here he's talking about something that everyone can witness in the universe, that everything comes to an end. All living beings eventually will come to die. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam acknowledges this. He's not scared of this. He knows that this too is part of the system that's in place. And in this he can see Allah, who is the one who is worthy of worship. If you're just to think about this process of life and death, it is one of the greatest signs of the existence of Allah in the universe. If you go and ask all those people who died, let's say in the last week, and you ask them, okay, was it your choice to die? What's the answer that inevitably they're going to give you? The answer is no. It's not our choice. Death came upon us. It overtook us. Because if it was their choice, then there would have been many of them who would have said that, you know what, I want some more time. Let me have a second chance. Give me a year. Let me fix myself. Now that I know that this is all going to come crashing to an end, let me see what I can do differently. But inevitably, when the time comes, when the angel of death comes knocking at our door, then we don't have a choice in the matter. Now if we don't have a choice in the matter, then what system is in place? Who is it that's calling the shots here? Who is it that's governing the affairs? Why is it that the only house that will permanently be our abode in this body, in this earth, is a house which is 6 feet underneath the ground? Right? If it were up to us, I mean, you see the type of houses that we would yearn for while we're alive. We prefer that to be the sort of residence that we want to take up forever, as far as this earth is concerned. But yet, no matter how wealthy you are, no matter what type of house you have in this world, when it comes to death and what comes afterwards, we don't have a choice in the matter. We can't choose a luxury grave site. The grave is the grave at the end of the day. And this is the reality, and we can't escape it. And it is one of the greatest signs of Allah. And from a believer's perspective, it's not something to fear. It's something to see the wondrous acts of Allah. There are reasons for this, brothers and sisters. I came across a very interesting hadith that there was a people. This is again in the book of Shaykh al-Saduq, known as Tawheed. There were some people who once asked. This is a report from our sixth Imam alayhi salam. There was a people who once asked their prophet. This is sometime in the ancient times. They came to their prophet and they said that, O Prophet of God, pray for us. Pray for us that we don't die anymore. Death was something that was hard for them to swallow. So the prophet prayed to God and they no longer would die. They would just stay alive. Eventually though, they started to see that problems occurred. They realized that the amount of space that's there in this earth and the way that everything else works is such that we have to die. They would see that one individual would not only have to worry about his children, he would have to worry about his parents, his grandparents, and then the parents of his grandparents. And instead of being able to go and seek the rizq of Allah from the earth and get the provisions for providing for his family, he would spend all of his day serving the other members of his family. And they realized that, no, this was upsetting the balance. This isn't the way it's supposed to work. So they went back to the Prophet and they asked him that, once again, please pray for us so that we can have our deaths back again. We want this. We need this. This is part of the wisdom of Allah in this universe. Nabi Ibrahim sees this and he sees that this too is a sign that this is the entity that I want to be worshipping, the one who is responsible for my death and the one who is going to bring me back to life again. And then he continues, he says, وَالَّذِي أَطْمَعُ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ لِي خَطِيئَتِي يَوْمَ الدِّينِ. He is the one who I hope in, I desire from, that he gives me maghfira, that he covers me with his forgiveness for all the khati'at, all those sins, all those mistakes on the day of reward, on the day of judgment. Now this is a very, very beautiful ayah of the Quran, brothers and sisters. That after stating all these facts about what Allah does in this universe, that He provides us with rizq, He feeds us, He gives us nourishment to drink, He provides us with health after we get sick, He's the one who gives us life, He's the one who gives us death. Then Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam says, makes a dua. Because if we recognize that this is how intimately Allah is involved with our life, that the very life that we have, the death that we're going to meet, every risk that comes our way, all of that is in His hands, then the natural result of that, the natural consequence, natural corollary, is that I am going to make dua from Him. I'm going to be asking from Him and from no one else. What is it that I ask for Him? In Nabi Ibrahim's words, he asked for forgiveness. Now Nabi Ibrahim is a prophet of Allah. He is ma'asum. He doesn't commit any sins. For a ma'asum, even the act of going to sleep, however, is a sin for him. Why? Because during that time, it's a natural thing that a human being falls unconscious. They're not aware of their surroundings. They don't have that same state of awareness that they had before. But for a ma'asum, it's considered a sin to not be aware of the reality of Allah in this universe. So for that amount of time that he's asleep, that requires istighfar. That requires maghfirah as well. For a ma'asum, paying attention to another human being is considered a sin. Because for that amount of time, his attention is not on Allah the way it should be. So Nabi Ibrahim is worried about these type of sins. What about for us, brothers and sisters? That when we understand that this is a type of dependency that we have on Allah, then we too should be seeking forgiveness from Allah, turning to Him repentantly. Sometimes this question is asked that, you know, I'm saying my prayers, but I don't feel any sort of regret or remorse in my heart. But don't we realize that even a moment where we don't acknowledge the blessings of Allah, we don't use those blessings in the way that Allah wants us to, we haven't dedicated our lives towards Allah, that too requires us to feel a bit of remorse and regret in our hearts. Not just a bit, a lot. Right? We have so much to turn to Allah for, to ask from Him. All of this perspective on this Tawhidi perspective on life, leads him to then ask for Allah and to make dua to Him. We pray to Allah that He shows us these type of perspectives in our lives. He helps us to understand our role in the universe and His presence in the universe. We pray to Him that He gives us the tawfiq to make dua, to really make dua and to believe that He is the one who answers our duas, that He is the one who is capable of answering any need that we have and all of our requests. We ask Allah on this evening of the month of Ramadan that He accepts the dua of all of those who are present, that He blesses all of those who are with us but are no longer with us, that He helps the plight of all those who are oppressed, especially the mu'mineen who are being oppressed in this world right now in Iraq and in Palestine. And we pray for the swift appearance of the Imam of our time. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi.
Assalamu alaikum. Mu'minin, here's the list of upcoming programs. Jashne Viladat Imam Hassan alayhi salam. Salawat par Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. The Jashan will be coming up tomorrow, Sunday, July 13th. Program will start at 7:30 p.m. with Tilawat Quran, followed by English speech, and then followed by the Urdu speech, inshallah. The second is the family camp, which is coming up on August 1st to August 3rd. This is coming under Darul